For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror, you quote that scripture. If you don't have a signature scripture, make that one of yours. For with God, because sometimes people are going to put some things in your way that make life seems impossible. But you need to know that with God, nothing shall be impossible. The title of the theme of our sermon this morning is the miraculous conception. The miraculous conception. As we look at our lesson text this morning, we will see that as we move forward from last week, we see that Jesus created him a people from women who had barren wombs. Jesus said, I'm going to make me a nation, but I'm going to make me one, a nation that never exists. And when they exist, they are going to know that I'm the one that brought it into being. When he visits Sarah, you know, when he visited Hannah, when he did all of these things, and these women who had, and Rachel, and all of these women who had barren wounds, and he brought forth a nation. And we saw last week how he visited Elizabeth. But now he say, I'm preparing you for you to understand that I am a miracle worker. Do you know that? God is a miracle worker. Let me just define that for you. See, a miracle is when God intervenes in the natural order of things for the sake of the believer. He only does this for believers. He intervenes in the natural order of things for the sake of the believer. You see, God has the power to stand between the natural order and the divine order. And God has a way of suspending the natural order in order for us to hook up to the divine order. Oh, you remember when Peter walked the water? God suspended the natural order of gravity to allow Peter to walk on the water and to do something that was divine. You remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days and he was about to decay. But you see, God, rigor mortis, and all of this was about to set in. But God said, I have the power to intervene in the natural order of things for the sake of the believer. See, God only does this for believers. He only works miracles for believers. God is a miracle worker. And he said, when I send my son on earth, his calling card will be the miracles that I'm going to give. You will know that he's my son because he will also be a miracle worker. Are you out there? He may have worked some miracles in your life. I don't know, but he's worked some miracles in my life. He intervenes as things go in the natural. See, sometimes when we get cancer, we think that, and then they say you got a lethal disease. But see, God has the power to intervene in the natural order and the progression of things for the sake of the believer. But that's what he wants us to understand about Christmas. He said, I want you to understand that I'm about to do something that is so miraculous. Don't just go through Christmas talking about Santa Claus and all this kind of stuff. And I know you see these supernatural folks. Santa Claus gonna come down your chimney and come to your house. You may not even have a chimney. Man with a red suit coming into my house. You may believe that. But see, God, Christmas is about a miracle. Christmas is about a miraculous conception. So God said, now you've seen me work the miracles through the women that was barren. But see, I want to prepare you. See, God has a way of preparing us. You may have said, wow, that was a miracle that Elizabeth had a baby. Wow. That was a miracle that Sarah had a baby. Wow, Rachel, Hannah, wow, that was a miracle. But God said, I want you to understand that these things happen so I can prepare you for a more miraculous conception than even that woman that was old having a child that had passed her biological clock. God said, but I'm still creating me a nation. He said, I'm going to send my son through 42 generations, but I'm going to allow you to see that my people stand here because I created them. I am a creator God. See, when you create something, you make something from nothing. Are you out there? I watch my wife cook sometimes, and she know how to cook stuff from scratch. She know how to make stuff from nothing. Are you all out there? I know y'all got a lot of microwave stuff around here, but every now and then you have to roll some stuff up in your hand. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, yeah, you have to take a meatloaf and roll it up. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Make it from scratch, not Sara Lee. Come on now. But we see God is a miracle worker. And we see that today I would teach that the miraculous conception was a creative act of the Holy Spirit. It was a creative act of the Holy Spirit. We will use 2 points here this morning. Mary questioned Gabriel and Gabriel's response, verses 34 through verse 35. Point two, God's word with Elizabeth, scripture number 36 through 37, and Mary's submission, verses 38. When we look at our lesson text, we find now that the angel has visited Mary, and the angel now in verse 34, and then Mary said unto the angels, how shall this be, seeing that I know no man? Gabriel had instructed Mary that she would be carrying a child, but she wanted to know. Now pay attention, because see, Mary's response is different than Zechariah. See, Zechariah's response was one of unbelief. He said, are you sure this going to happen? When God told him that Elizabeth was going to happen, are you sure this going to happen? And that's why God had him to shut up for a while, and he couldn't speak, because he was acting in unbelief. But you see, what Mary is saying here, I believe this is going to happen, but I just don't know how it's going to happen. She said, I'm not doubting you. Y'all, you know how it is when somebody tell you something. She said, you know, like when I tell my wife something, she says, I'm not doubting you, but how is it going to happen? I know it's going to happen, but how? And that's what she said. She's not speaking in unbelief. She just want to know, you know, I ain't been with no man. So I've never heard of this before. I'm just a teenage girl. She said, "Now," and that's what she said. And then Mary said unto them, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was a virgin. She hadn't been with a man. So she said, now how am I going to have a baby? Every person that I've ever known or seen to have a baby was married, and they was with a man. So you see here, God said, I got to do something different this time than what I have done before. Now pay attention, because the angel is going to respond to Mary. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now pay attention, because God is explaining some things here to Mary that we need to understand. In order for you to understand Christmas, you got to get to first base. You got to understand this creator God, what God allowed to do in his own creation. So for a minute, I'm going to have to take you back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. You see, the earth was without form and void. In other words, this means that the earth didn't have any shape, and yet the earth was inhabitable by any creature. The earth was not even habitable by any creature. God just looked out there and saw this abyss, and then he said the deep. This term deep describes the earth where water covered all of the earth and there was no surface. God looked out there and there was nothing but water covering all surface. There was no dry land. There was no creation. But God allowed his shadow, his thing to come over the earth. And God created the universe. God said he overshadowed. He covered it. He's a creator God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. And God and his Son and the Holy Ghost participated in the creation. I told you, when something is created, it comes out of nothing. Just follow me in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. It says, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter and them was talking about all of the things that they was going to build up there for God. And while Peter was talking, he was still speaking. And behold, a bright cloud overshadowed. And suddenly a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved." Shut up, Peter. "This is my beloved." I don't need you to build no monument of a Moses. Shut up, listen. "This is my beloved son." But you see the cloud, this bright cloud overshadowed him and came over. And God's voice, he created, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Hear him. So you see this overshadowing of God, this covering of God is a creative act. It's the same thing that created the universe. It's the same thing that created the world. So when we look at this thing that's coming over, that's coming over Mary, and it says, "And the angel Esther and the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee." And you see there is a combination here. There is a coming together of the Holy Spirit came upon thee in the power of the Most High. The Holy Spirit came with the power of the Most High. And these two powers came and they overshadowed Mary. And they overshadowed Mary in the creative way that only God can create. And when they came in a creative way and they created in Mary, and that was and Mary conceived and she became pregnant with a child. But it was the creation of the Holy Spirit. Then pay attention, because see, God had to do this thing this way. God had to go back to creation. God had to create, because he had given man dominion over the world. And God said, "Listen, I can't lie. I have given man dominion. And if anything gonna happen down here on earth, man is gonna have to do it. But in order for me to go back and get my family who have been put out to God, in order for me to go back to earth, I can't micromanage this thing from heaven. So you see, I'm going to have to get a body, and I'm going to have to go to earth in a body." He say, because it's got to be a man who does this. "I'm going to have to get a body, and I'm going to have to go to earth." So God say, "Listen, I'm going to have to get a body, and I'm going to have to find somebody that I can go through, because see, I'm going to have to be fully human, but I'm going to also have to be fully divine, because see, I got to do this thing different. Because I have got to break the sin nature of the first Adam. I've got to break it. I got to go, but I got to break it. I got to break the sin nature of the first Adam. I can't go like a regular man, because I won't be able to fulfill the law like I'm sure. But I'm going to have to break the sin nature of the first Adam." So he came. He said, "Give me a body." He said, I can't micromanage this thing. I have to go in a body. And if I'm going to change this thing, if I'm going to save man, I have to go save man in a body. I have to go suffering, and I have to go and die, because man's sins has got to be paid for. And I got to go down there and pay for them. But I got to pay for them in a body. My body is going to have to be broken. My body is going to have to be healed. I'm going to have to go to Calvary's cross. I'm going to have to go down there and pay the sin, pay the price for sinful man. So he took on a body, and he came down here, and he paid the price. So we see here in our lesson text, he came up on Mary, and Mary had a baby. And this baby is a human being that said the word that was with God. He said Jesus took off his Prada glory. Hallelujah. Let me show you what happened when I had on my coat like this. You see, Jesus was in heaven with God. And Jesus said, listen, I'm going to have to go down there. He said, I've sent Abraham, I've sent Moses, and I've sent all these people. But Jesus said, I'm going to have to take off my Prada glory. I'm not going to give it up. I'm just going to take it off. I'm going to lay my coat down right here. It's still my coat. I can come back and get it whenever I want it. But I'm going to lay down my Prada glory. And when I lay down my glory, I'm going to come back and take my glory back. So he came to earth. And then it says, and therefore also the holy thing which thou shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the living God. Shall be called the Son of God. Jesus came here in tabernacle and called himself the Son of Man because he was referring to the human side of God. But he's also said he will be the Son of God. So he looks, when we look at verse 36, and it says, and behold, Jesus said, listen, I want you to understand something, Mary. He says, now behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. See, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, because on Mary's father's side was David, and on Mary's mother's side was the Levites that Elizabeth came out of. So he said, Elizabeth, your cousin. He said, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. He said, listen, I want you to understand that I'm a miracle worker. But first, I want you to go see something that God has done with Elizabeth, your cousin. He said, you know, she was barren, but now she's in her 6 months of pregnancy, and she's about to have a child. So go visit her. Go see her. Go. You know, sometimes we have to see something. Am I right about it? Sometimes God has to show us something, doesn't he? God has to show him something so we can believe. So he said, go see Elizabeth, and then you will know. You would know that she is conceiving. And he said, he made it sure that she understood this. He said, in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Elizabeth, in her old age, walking around pregnant, having a baby. He said, Mary, I want you to see this. I want you to understand something that I'm about to do. And then he comes up to my key verse. After he tells her to go and to see Elizabeth, then he says, with God, he said, now I want you to understand something to him, Mary. He said, listen to this thing, it's real here. He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You think letting a woman that's barren and old, he said, listen, with God, nothing. And in John chapter 15, it says, you can do nothing without God. But here it says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something about this verse, because, you know, when you study scripture, it has to be conformed to other scriptures. Now, God would not say this in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. But if you pay attention and walk through the scripture, I just took some time to go out and find some other scriptures because I wanted to see what God was saying here. But if you look in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, it's going to let you know there's nothing too hard for God. It's going to let you know in all these verses that I'm about to give you that this same phenomena is spoken of in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I just gave you Genesis 18, 14. If you look in Psalms 115, verse 3, if you look in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, if you look in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, if you look in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, if you look in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, if you look at Luke 18, verse 27, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, if you look at Ephesians verse 3, chapter 3 rather, verse 20, you will see in all these verses, Old and New Testament, God is saying in some kind of way, with God, in all kind of way, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. And then verse 38, and Mary said, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The angel departed from her. But God didn't. See, God can't leave us. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He said, there's nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But you see, and now pay attention, because see, Mary says, behold the handmaiden. See, that word handmaiden means slave. She said, behold, I'm going to be a slave to the Lord. But now don't get bent out of shape about this term slave. Because see, we in America has messed up this term with the kind of slavery that we had here. But she says, I'm voluntarily becoming a slave to a good master. You know, we think a slave is one who's going to be beaten and mistreated and all this kind of stuff, but no, not here. See, this is the kind of slave that loves to serve a master. She say, behold, I am your handmaiden. Behold, I am your slave. And she says, I am your slave in that 38th verse, slave to the Lord, but be according to thy word. And the angel departed. Now pay attention, because see, Mary is voluntarily doing this. Now, you know how hard it is to get folks in the church to do something. Do y'all know that? Y'all know how hard that is? But you see, Mary said, listen. Mary said, listen, I'm going to do this thing. But there's some things that may happen to me. You see, I'm betrothal to Joseph. And that's an engagement. That was looked at an engagement. She said, I may lose my husband to be. Yeah, you know, but not only that, if I'm come up with a child that he knows is not his child, according to Deuteronomy 22, verse 23, he says, listen, but not only am I in trouble with Joseph, the law that states in Deuteronomy that if this is adultery, then I can be stoned to death. I'm putting my whole life on the line. I can be stoned to death, but not only am I going to be stoned to death, but all of the people are going to talk about me. My name is going to be mud. I'm going to lose my husband. I'm going to lose my life in the community. I'm going to lose my reputation. But she forgot all of that. And Mary said, behold, I am your handmaid. Behold, I am your slave. I have no, see, a slave has no other agenda but the agenda of the master. She said, whatever you want me to do, I'm here to do it. Just explain to me. I believe you. She said, behold, I understand what I got to go through. I understand. You remember they kept on following her even after Jesus was born. Even when they was at the wedding, they came to say, you said he was God. Have him to turn water to wine. You know, what is he going to do? You know, they still was following him. But Mary said, whatever he say, do it. Take those water pots and whatever, take them to him. And he turned them. But pay attention here now, because this lady put her whole life on the line because she believed in God. She believed the word of God. She wanted to serve God. She didn't care about losing her reputation. She put her whole marriage on the line. She put everything on the line. And she said, I am your slave. I will do whatever you want me to do. I have no agenda. See, when you come into the church, you have no agenda. When you come in to serve God, you have no agenda. Your agenda is God's agenda. You know, you talk to people in the church, they got all kind of agenda. What about God's agenda? Are you all with me? What about God's agenda? You said you was going to be a servant. You went in the army, you put on a uniform, and you dress like they told you to dress. You act like they told you to dress. But when you come into the church, you're also a soldier for God. What kind of army do we have? Are y'all out there? Mary said, I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care how bad the people talk about me. I don't care what they say about me. I'm on God's agenda. I'm God's slave. He is a miracle worker. He will take the natural order of things for the sake of the believer. There are a lot of things that's happening in your life. I don't know, but I just want you to understand. But if you have not had a miracle, you are due for a miracle. All you have to do is believe that God is a miracle worker and line up with the ways of God. If it's cancer, you need healing. If it's money, God say, I got more money than they got in any bank. And God say, all of the riches come from me. He say, whatever you need, I can supply all your needs according to my riches and my glory. He say, I am a miracle worker. I will take everything that you up against. If it's peace in your home, he said, my name is peace. Whatever you need, God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and my. Will you trust God? Regardless of what the world say, would you come up and line up with God's agenda? Would you say like Mary said, I am your handmaiden according to your word? Would you line up with the ways of God?